make life easy on you. Doesn't always happen, but we try. And the first E is edification, and the second E is evangelism. How to grow in ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. We try to stay with biblical definitions of things and not personal interpretations, because they can always change with the culture. But we see right here how to grow a ministry in Ephesians chapter 4. It must be the word of God. It must be spoken in love. And it will naturally, we should say, spiritually increase itself. When there's a loving, operating body, it will increase itself. It will naturally tend to grow. Now, sometimes it'll grow deeper through persecution than it will grow in numbers, but eventually it'll grow in numbers. So there's different types of growth that we're talking about there. A lot of churches today, we said, are an inch deep and a mile long, and don't really go down into the text. That's what that means. But you have to go down into the text and mine the diamonds there if you want to shine, somebody said. That's true. That's a true statement. You've got to go down and mine the diamonds if you want to be reflecting the life or character of Jesus Christ. You got to know what you have. And that's why doctrine is important. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read it and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And let's see if your thinking caps theologically are on again. I know we've done this a number of times, but let's just see. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, which two of those are already concluded? Make it easy on you, the apostles. If I start calling myself Apostle Joel Long, please go to another church. See, it's going to title this. If I start calling myself the prophet, you'll know that we've entered back into the Old Testament era right before the New Testament came in. Those two offices are fulfilled. And we're small letter A apostles in that sense. We are all sent out. But we weren't personally commissioned by Jesus Christ with a capital A apostle. That's over. So just to let everyone know. And since no one said anything, just a few smiles and finger pointing and laughing, I imagine everybody got that right. Way to go. And then there's a gift of evangelists and some pastor teachers. That's the same person there functioning as a teacher, the one who tends the flock. Those are the gifts that come to the church, those particular ministry leadership gifts, okay? And here's why they are given. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All those are edifying terms, by the way. So our first point is edification. That's where we got it. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a perfect mature man, that means likeness of Christ, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's just a measurement, growth statement there. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with everything we see on TV concerning Jesus, right? A little bit of adaptation there, but that would be true. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. This is the moving things around to suit their own theological bent, but they're not really preaching the Bible. Like, all of us are going to be healthy. None of us are going to get sick while we're serving Jesus. Somebody say amen. You know, they might say amen, but it's just not true, right? Okay. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, they know they're deceiving when they do that. That's interesting. But here is how we mature. Here is how we grow. But speaking the truth and the letter of the law, that'll really get the point across. Did anybody catch that sleight of words there I just said don't use? No, but speaking what? The truth in love. like bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need to know that God loves them. They need to know that we love them, and raising them up to obey the Lord. That's what bringing them up in the nurture. If they don't think we love them, they don't want to care what we have to say to them. And that's true of us with other people too. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even the Pope. Pastor Long, if you just keep doing it. It's so good to put the opposite out there so you can appreciate what is true. Amen. You know, some people believe that the Pope is the head of the church, and that's called heresy. That's not true, and it's also called blasphemy because it injures the person who is the head, and that's Christ. That's what blasphemy is, injuring the character of God. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, that's every believer, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, just like your natural body moves and joints are important. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, every person is important, hands, the feet, the eyes. And here is the growth, making increase of the body unto the edifying or the building up of itself in what sphere? Hate or in the sphere of love? In the sphere of love. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight to take control of us by your Spirit and take our mind off of everything else. We came to meet with you tonight, dear Lord. Glad to meet with everyone else here. We thank you for Kayla's parents being here tonight. Bless them, build them up, encourage them in their faith in you, Christ. Use them for your glory. We thank you for Josh and Caleb and the good ministry they're doing here amongst our young people. Lord, we just ask you to bless every ministry going on right now here in the church, the teens, the little ones, and Brandon and Tanya working with them, the ladies with the nursery, every ministry, dear Lord, we pray we done in love to build one another up. Now take your word and transform us by it. We believe it'll do the job. In Jesus' name, amen. Just by way of application on your paper, our first point, how to grow in ministry, the word of truth must be spoken in love. Every now and then when I get a little under pressure about something, you know, I'll say some things, but I wonder if it was said in love. Anybody else have that problem here tonight? Can we get a witness, as they say? And then, your conscience might be a little oversensitive, my wife would say. But, you know, I try to get the point across, and there is that application of strongly encouraging someone. But they got to know that we're speaking to them and not speaking at them. And I shared it with my younger brother. You know, I told you 5 or 6 years ago, I was just waxing eloquent on something, you know, and he was an assistant pastor in another church. He's 43, I think, now, and maybe 44, and I'm 57. So I was just crossing the line with regard to family relationship and forgetting about the love ministry stuff and just telling them how to do it. You know, this is how it is. Anybody know what we're talking about now? Because of those who are closest to us, we have a tendency to let down that guard, and that's when the filter needs to be on the most. That's when it needs to be there the most. So I sin most of the time in my house. Thankfully, I don't get too far out into the community, and I can stop it there because I get convicted when it happens. So just an honest confession tonight. The hardest place to serve the Lord, one of my professors said a long time ago, is actually in the home. And this is true. And then the people closest to us, that would extend to our work, church family, etc. Let us not take one another for granted. Amen. But really desire to speak the truth, but in love. Notice by way of application from the verses that we just read, every believer should be a word-filled, ministry-minded, God and people-loving person. We must be constantly thinking of building up or edifying others in the body. I didn't really feel like coming to church tonight. I know I have felt that way myself in the past, but I came for other people. I came to meet with the Lord for other people's sake too. And that's important. Very important. And then I notice as I sing songs, sometimes if I'm not particularly ready for the service or something, that it brings me up. My focus begins to be on the Lord, and the problems that were bothering me before I got to the service somehow are set aside, at least for a moment, and I'm now facing the Lord and getting built up, and I need that. So this is why I often come to church. That's a little funny, isn't it? I mean, I am the pastor. This is why I often come to church. Okay. The sound or spiritually healthy doctrine, teaching of God's word, must be our continual diet. What you feed will be what will lead. After we feed upon it, we should care enough of others to share it with them. For example, Titus 1:9, we're to be speaking that sound doctrine and to stay with it. And Titus chapter 2, let's just turn there because everybody hasn't gone through those verses with us. If you keep turning, you're going to run into those T's, Thessalonians, Timothy, and then Titus. I'm glad somebody told me that years ago, because when you're flipping the pages sometimes, it takes a long time to get there, right? All those T's are together, so that helps. All right, so Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, here's an instruction from Paul to Timothy. He says, holding fast the faithful word, in other words, the word will do the work that God intends it to do. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, there's the word hygiene, healthy doctrine, will be able to both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, these gainsayers are trying to say things that are contrary to the gospel, but if you hold fast to the doctrine of the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they won't be able to take it away from you. They'll speak as though to talk circles around you and diminish the power of the gospel, but how do you defend yourself? By speaking the truth. Look at chapter 2, verse 1, not on your papers. But speak thou the things which become, there it is again, sound doctrine. And you see that again and again and again. Sound in the faith in verse 2. And then verses 3 and 4, here I just picked out the ladies tonight, young ladies with children, and what the aged women, the older women are supposed to do. Look at verses 3 and 4. Here is an example of speaking sound doctrine and then practice sound doctrine. The aged women likewise, chapter 2, verse 3, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, that they belong to the Lord, holiness. Now, this is before they got saved. The women in Crete were false accusers. That's how they got their way. They just falsely accused someone, they got an advantage, and then they were getting drunk. Not given to much wine means they were wine bibbers. They were befriend of the bottle. And because they had more time on their hands, they got themselves in trouble with that time. But instead of those negatives, the transformation, teachers of good things. And who do you think they're supposed to focus on? The younger women. Look at verse 4. That they may teach the younger women to be sober. This is not only alcohol limited or free, but to be serious-minded and sensible in their choices in life. And here's the area of sensibility that needs to be applied. First of all, to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, where's the hardest place to serve the Lord? In the home, where husband and children might take advantage of you. So young women particularly, I think young mothers, that's the hardest, probably the hardest ministry, is a young mother. The command to love here, let me just read a sound doctrine statement. Younger women should listen to older godly women, not just older women, older godly women who hold to sound doctrine delivered by the elders, particularly the pastor teacher. Now, the command to love here is not the word for unconditional love. That's the sound doctrine that a husband is to display to his wife, unconditional love. This word love here is not agape. It's a phileo love. Here it means to be fond of him and your children. Build a relationship with them, become a good friend of, or choose to enjoy a relationship with them. That's what a young mother and wife is supposed to do. She's supposed to befriend her husband and her children. So part of having a healthy spiritual life for the younger wife and mother is to take, notice this, the God-given responsibility for building a healthy family by becoming a good friend to both her husband and children. That takes time, doesn't it? Takes time. One lady said she went to a baseball game with her husband for like 30 or 40 years. And one night he was sick and they were walked to the game, you know. And she said, honey, oh. And he said, I'm so sorry, dear. I just can't make the ball game tonight. And I know how much you love going to those games and everything. And she said, I think his name was George. She said, George, I don't really like baseball, honey. I just go because I wanted to be with you. He said, what? Yeah, I just wanted to go because that's what you like doing, and that's why I liked it, because you were there. I didn't really care about baseball. I liked it because you liked it. That's what we're talking about. Maturing will grow from telling children what to do, as in obey, to sharing why you do what you do, because you become a good friend, not just an authority figure or a parent in their life. That's cultivating a relationship. And this, of course, will agree with sound doctrine. I joked around and said, my mother visited last week in Sarah because of Joshua's graduation. Thank you for all the kindnesses and prayers and things for Joshua. And I jokingly said that my mother's still telling me what to do, trying to tell me what to do. But let me remove the jokingly part and say that she still tries to tell me what to do. But the relationship's different because I am a man in my own house, right, Gregory? Okay. So the things change when you grow into adulthood yourself. And so you have to be actually cater a relationship with your adult children. You know, after a certain age, they don't have to do what you tell them anymore. That's authority. They don't have to do it. So you want them to listen to you and want to do it. That's called maturity. Okay? So, living and learning. Amen? Living the word and teaching others to do the same is the work of the ministry. Look at 1 Corinthians. And chapter 15. Did everyone already turn there while I was waxing eloquent? Probably. 1 Corinthians 15. I know that's the great chapter on the resurrection of Christ and sound doctrine, and we've defeated death through faith in Him, even though our outward body's corrupting. Inwardly, we're growing in the Lord. The sting of death is gone because of that. That's right. And then we get into verse 57 and verse 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Over sin, death, and hell, the victory is given by who? Jesus Christ. It's our faith in Him. He gives us that. And then notice this. Therefore, that's doctrine, by the way. Now here's practice. Therefore, my beloved ones, is a substantival there. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Stay with it. Unmovable from sound doctrine. Always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The field is the people. The two areas of ministry are edification and evangelism. That's the work of the Lord called the Great Commission, making disciples. On our papers, every believer is commanded to help fulfill the Great Commission. And notice, co-mission involves two people. God's promise to work with us of making disciples, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. As you are going about, make disciples. Make disciples. And then the second point in growing a ministry is evangelism. I think I made mention of this Sunday morning. You can have programs, that's fine, we have them. But if you're just leaning to a program and not a personal desire to witness, you're not going to witness very much. Every person should be evangelizing. When should we be evangelizing? All the time. That's when. And I was going to share this on Sunday. I shared it with my Sunday school class. I got a little off track, and I do sometimes. And let me just share it with you very quickly again. My nephew and I, Caleb, were going to cut a yard in Lock Haven. Some real estate lady called me and said, "Can you do it today?" And I got family and everything. And she called me on Friday, "Can you do it tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, I'm ready for my sermon and everything, and I got my studies done." And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." I knew the grass was going to be high. It was 16, 18 inches high, and 40 by 100 lot, something like that. This place is huge. 2 yards, really, twice. And I actually did cut it twice just to make it right. Raked it. But anyways, getting off the subject again. While I was standing there, we decided to get a stop at McDonald's and get a biscuit first. You know, I like those sausage, egg and cheese McMuffins. You get 2 for $4. I want some money out of this advertisement. But anyway, pretty good deal. So we got that. And anyways, while I was waiting there, some lady was in the line over here and kept turning around. "What'd you say you wanted?" You know, 5 or 6 people over there sitting down on their phones. Bing, 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 bing. I can't believe this lady is in line. And, you know, look, we're standing. You know, this is going through my mind. And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do here?" You know, so get in the other line. So I got in the other line. There's one guy over here, an Indian guy. I thought he was a college student. He was out there counting his quarters and everything. And I was thinking, maybe I'll just buy this guy's breakfast. I remember those college days, the two pennies, you're rubbing them together, hoping 3 fall out, you know, this kind of stuff. And somehow they got behind on the order there, so we were there 5 or 10 minutes. So I have a decision to make. Complain like the rest of the world, or, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" So the guy steps back, and we order our food, and we're standing there, you know, waiting on our food. He's waiting on his food. And I said, "So, hey, are you a college student?" And my children laugh at me a little bit. "Dad, you talk to people like you've known them all their life?" Or something. "Yeah, I know." So I said, "Hey, how you doing, man?" "Pretty good, yeah." I said, "Are you in college here? Like, I'm in college?" He said, "No, I'm 35 years of age." I said, "Oh, well, man, you look kind of young for, you know, for I saw you backpacking there. I thought you were a college student." He said, "I am a college student." "But I am 35 years of age." Things change, don't they? Right, amen. So I said, "Okay." So I just skipped on that. He said, "Boy, what do you think about these tattoos?" I mean, he just jumped from this to tattoos. I said, "Well, I didn't even hardly get a cent." He said, "Boy, I don't like those tattoos. You know, a lady's over here, she's got tattoos." I'm like, "Oh, my soul." You know, I'm kind of standing back waiting for the kung fu or something. And I said, "Yeah, these people got these tattoos, you know, and they're just marking up their bodies and everything." And, you know, I said, "Well, what do you think about it?" He said, "Do you have any tattoos?" I said, "No, I don't have any tattoos." "Oh, well, you know." And he said, "I guess you're all right," and everything. Like, so I said, I'm just feeling them out, you know, and talking. And he said, "Everybody with a tattoo is cursed." And, you know, as soon as he said that's his opinion. As soon as he said that, I'm like, okay, there's an open door. And the Lord's like, "I'm going to push you through this door. You can decide to do it or not, you know. Step up to the plate. Here's a softball over, you know. This one's going out. If all through, swing the bat." And but so I took it, you know. I saw it was of the Lord. And I didn't want to witness. I didn't feel like witnessing at 7 a.m. in the morning. Anybody, 7:30, you know. I wanted to get my biscuit, get on the road, get that yard cut, and get back to the family before they woke up. That's what I got. But the Lord had other plans. And I let the man do his talking. And when he said to curse, I said, "Well, no, the only thing that curses us is unforgiven sin. And thank God he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt and deliver us from the curse that was upon us, and that is our sins. But, you know, all," and he tried to get something else in. I said, "And all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." And I said, "That's what every person needs, is forgiveness of sin." And he said, "Well, do you like tattoos?" And I said, "Well, I don't personally like them, but I love people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And with that, the man closed his mouth, bowed his head, and stopped talking, and I left. So, we need to tell people what the real curse is, and that is unforgiven sin. So, well, my dad used to say this too. You know, I didn't like cigarettes either. This kind of stuff. I said, okay, but you will smell better going to heaven. That's what he used to say. If you don't, you might live a little longer if you don't. You know. All right. Matthew 16:18-19. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now he's going to make the statement about the rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because Peter said, thou art the Son of God. That's the rock. That's the foundation. Not Peter. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Bound. We need to see every person as bound to sin. This is an evangelistic mind. Because it's true, by the way. And loosed. We need to know that we have the key to set them free from their enslavement. The keys, truth and love. Here's what Martin Luther says about it. And believe me, he was right in the heat of the fight with regard to these verses. Martin Luther said, the ministry of the word belongs to all. To bind and to loose clearly is nothing else than to proclaim and apply the gospel. For what is it to loose if not to announce the forgiveness of sins before God? And what is it to bind, in other words, leave someone bound, except to withdraw the gospel and to declare the retention of sins? They're still in their sins. Whether they, that is the Roman Catholic Church, just quoting him, want to or not, they must concede that the keys are the exercise of the ministry of the word and belong to all Christians. All God's people say, amen. And then Jesus put it this way in John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, simple condition assumed to be true that they were doing that. Then are ye my disciples indeed in truth. You are my student learners as a way of life. And ye shall know the truth. You'll experience it yourself. And the truth shall make you free. You have the keys of truth and love to free every imprisoned soul. That is with the gospel. So go and free some slaves from sin. Amen. Let's look at our prayer list tonight.